This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, my name is Claire and I've been sober curious for about 3 years. My first Dry January attempt was shocking. 5 days. My second Dry January attempt was a bit better, but I did it through sheer willpower and gritted teeth, totally resentful of everyone around me, and I went straight back to drinking. So I realised that's not the way to do it for me anyway. So as a consequence, I read lots of Quitlit, I listened to loads and loads of podcasts, and rather than waiting for the following Dry January, I just started. So I'm now day 1030, and it's the best thing. I sleep like a baby. I have so much more energy, much more interest, much more clarity of thought. It is literally a superpower. So if you're coming up to your first Dry January or your 10th, my recommendation would try and find a different way. It's got to be a change of mindset rather than just sheer willpower, because that, my friend, will wear out soon enough. Good luck.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fan-flipping-tastic to have you here. First things first, hope you had an amazing AF Christmas and that it was festive AF. We've had a brilliant Christmas, my fifth alcohol-free Christmas. And let me tell you, it just gets better and better and better. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 49, hurtling towards 50, very alcohol-free, loving life, hands down. The best decision I ever made. Only ever intended on taking a break from booze. Totally wanted to get back on it. But I stuck with it. I gave it my all, and here we are now, absolutely singing about sobriety. One question I get asked all the time, and I'm going to answer it again on this pod if you're listening, maybe for the first time, because maybe, just maybe, you are considering Dry January. So many people say to me, Shaz, how bad did it get? What was your rock bottom? How much were you drinking? People always want to know how much you were drinking. It got up to a bottle of wine a night at home and maybe a couple more. And then at weekends, it was ramped up. And let me tell you, I could not have imagined ever a life without alcohol, never mind enjoying it, just a life with no booze in it. It's an absolute game changer. The best decision I ever made. I could wobble on about this for hours and hours and hours. And actually, that's what we do here on Over the Influence. I don't wobble along on my own, though. Although it is post-Christmas, so I'm a little bit wobbly. Wobbling along with me is Ben Anderson. How are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm definitely wobbling along after Christmas. My name is Ben. I'm 34. I live in Liverpool. I'm fiancé to Jem. I am stepdad to Alfie and Millie. Well, soon to be stepdad because we're getting married in August this year. And I am dad to baby Leo. And I've been alcohol-free for 2.5 years. Like Shaz, never intended to be alcohol-free. I want to have a 3-month break, is what I said initially. I want to have a 3-month break from alcohol just to see what it would do as an experiment. Unfortunately, I was kind of annoyed because the effects and benefits of alcohol-free life started happening to me pretty much straight away. My relationship started improving, my friendships got deeper, my work life got better. I was just generally more aware, and I like to say more awake. You know, I just lived in this kind of fuzz of alcohol. I wasn't a massive drinker, like I wasn't a daily drinker, but I was a binge drinker. So when I went out for a couple, it didn't take much to tempt me to have a couple more and maybe a couple more after that. And I'd just waste days to hangovers, and I didn't want to do that anymore. Shaz, you said a quick reintroduction to who we are, but we know that actually this might be the first time you're ever listening to Over the Influence.
Is really exciting, by the way. If it is, welcome.
Yeah, and we know that because we've got someone who's joining us. He's sitting there patiently in the wings at the moment listening to us waffle on. But we've got someone joining us later on who searched for Dry January podcasts in his podcast app this time last year. Only ever intended to do Dry January, but we kind of got in his head and he's joining us because he is now celebrating a year alcohol free.
Oh, that's crackers.
It's David in Edinburgh, and we won't give away too much of his story because he's going to tell us his story himself a little bit later on. But if you are that person who searched for Dry January in your podcast app because you're doing Dry January this year, let us tell you a little bit about Over the Influence and where we came from. Like, we've told you a bit about us, but in terms of the podcast and kind of who we are and why we do this. So me and Shaz gave up alcohol and realised pretty quickly that it really suited us. We're not anti-alcohol. And I think we should say that straight away. We don't think alcohol is evil. We don't judge people who drink. For us, we found that removing alcohol from our lives gave us benefits that we weren't willing to give up again by going back to drinking. We've got a podcast that's listened to in literally every country in the world. We've got thousands of listeners who download this every single day now, which, Shaz, isn't that nuts, by the way. In terms of people thinking about alcohol-free life, sober, curious people, thousands of people listen to Over the Influence every single day.
Yeah. The reason this flipping podcast exists, and now as a result of the podcast, our community, is because we want you to know, listening to this now, that number one, you're not on your own, okay? Because you feel a bit weird at first. Even being sober curious, it can be quite a strange existence. You are not on your own. Removing alcohol from your life, believe it or not at this stage, I mean, you might be listening to this absolutely hanging. Removing booze from your life will change it in ways you didn't think possible. But I think the best thing about it for me, Ben, is this... oh, God, how do I describe it? Craig Beck said it on one of our earlier podcasts. I genuinely have fallen in love with sobriety, and that is possibly the wankiest thing I've ever said in my life. And
But it's true.
But it's so, so true. And for the DMs we get, for the people that are struggling, for the people that think they're alone, for the people that get the piss taken out of them, this podcast exists to sing about sobriety. It's here to let you know that actually it's okay to be sober curious. It's okay to remove booze. It's okay to take a break. And if you ever get to the point where you're thinking, you know what, booze isn't for me, it's all right to be sober and alcohol free. And dear God, it's epic fun. It's so good. Stop
it's
me, Ben.
It's not boring.
Because I won't
That's
stop.
That's the thing. People think that alcohol-free life, oh, what, you know, my social life revolves around drinking. I won't have one anymore. It's amazing how many doors open when you give up alcohol. You give up one thing and you gain so much more. And it's so true. But look, we're going to go off on our full spiel, and we shouldn't, because I'm thinking about who's listening to this, Shaz. Obviously, hello to the regulars. Great to have you back. Happy New Year. But also, I'm thinking of that person that's just searched for Dry January in their podcast app. So what this episode is all about is basically, if you're doing Dry January 2023 and you're looking for a bit of kind of a few hints and tips, a bit of inspiration, then this podcast is all about how we think you should approach Dry January from people who are fully alcohol free. Like, we've done this thing and we've given up alcohol completely. We've removed it now for a long time. Me over 2 years, Shaz over 4 years. We know a bit about this whole
and also
thing.
Yes, we are completely alcohol free, but in my case, Ben, let me tell you, the amount of Dry Januaries that were piss wet through about 2 or 3 days in, I have failed at this time and time and time again. So, you know, speaking from bitter experience, I think it's fair to say that we know what works and what doesn't work, and, you know, what might work for you. So give it a chance.
So we had a production meeting before this, and we decided that we were going to give one tip each for people who are doing Dry January. I get the feeling that we're going to end up giving about 6 or 7 each, because we can't help ourselves.
I've got 76, actually. I can't do
76.
One.
I mean, who's going to go first? You want to do your 76, or shall I do my 76?
You start. You start.
Okay.
Because you're more organised than me. My brain just goes, it's scattergun approach, and I've got so much I want to share. So let me compose my thoughts in some sort of order. Okay. Ben, you go first.
So I think for me, if you're doing Dry January, and I did a Dry January when I was a drinker and hated it, it was an exercise in willpower. I was clinging on. I was, as Shaz would say, white-knuckling it through the whole of January. I say the whole of January. I can't remember exactly what date I got to, but I definitely didn't complete dry January until I was fully alcohol free. I don't want you to cling on through January. If you're doing dry January, don't just be counting down the days until the 1st of February. What a miserable way to exist. Wishing time away. Life's too short to wish any time away. So I don't want you to cling on to white knuckle it through January. I want you to enjoy it, which I know might sound like a weird thing, because when you talk about giving something up feels like, oh, it's a challenge, it's tough, I don't really want to do it, but I'm doing it because I've got to do it, or I feel like I've got to do it, and I've given it up, and oh, woe is me, isn't it miserable? One of the things that happens when you remove alcohol from your life, and this is a purely practical thing that will happen to everybody who's doing dry January, you get so much time back.
Oh, it's frightening.
Think about the time that you spend in the pub. Think about the time you spend on the sofa feeling sorry for yourself because you got a hangover. If you just count up the hours that you do that in a normal month, I mean, just look back at December and think how many hours were you either drinking or hungover for. You get all that time back, even when you're just doing dry January. So use that time to do something. Use the time. The other thing that you get, and it almost happens straight away, it did for me anyway, is you get this kind of energy that comes with the fact that you're not drinking anymore. You're not using energy to appear normal on a hangover. You've got this energy, and you've also got motivation that comes with the energy. So time, energy, motivation. Don't white knuckle it in January. Don't just count down the days until February the 1st. Use the time, use the energy, use the motivation to do something this January that you wouldn't do if you were drinking in January. Something that's fun and something that's for you. I mean, Shaz, for me, really simple. I used to love reading as a kid. When my drinking career started, I stopped reading.
Yeah, same.
And when I gave up booze, I had this time to read again. And yeah, okay. My fiancé, Jem, might look across and go, why on earth are you reading another boring business book, she calls them. But I like boring business books.
And also, Ben, I think it's worth noting at this point that you are a fan of not just Quitlet, which is literature about quitting alcohol. You're a massive fan of chick Quitlet. You're a particular fan of the women authors out there.
I am. And it's a weird one because I'm a 34-year-old man and I relate to these 40, 50, 60-something women who write about their experiences of giving up alcohol as moms. And I don't know why I love it so much. But if you need something for your reading list and you want to read some Quitlet in dry January, would absolutely recommend Blackout by Sarah Heppeler.
Oh, yeah.
Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget.
That's
is the tagline of that one. We love Claire Pooley. She's our friend.
Ace.
Claire Pooley. The Sober Diaries. I also love Bryony Gordon. She's the writer for The Telegraph. She's written a book called...
Glorious Rock Bottom.
Glorious Rock Bottom. Yeah, that's a really good one. Go on.
No, this is just where I'm going to jump in. I know you were talking about female authors there. We can't... At no point can we do an episode about Dry January without mentioning the alcohol-free god that is William Porter. Alcohol Explained and Alcohol Explained Too. Happy New Year, Will. A little personal message there for me, mate.
William Porter. Oh, my mate, William. He's a very good looking man. Look, this is off topic. We do that. But yeah, do you know what I mean? Just, you know, don't wish away January. Like, think about what can you do that's something for you. It might be reading. It might be running. You said for ages you're going to get out there and you're going to run and you haven't done it yet. It could be, you don't have to run. I'm not a runner. It could be walking. It could be spending a bit more time outside. Whatever it is for you, just actively do something that you know that you wouldn't be doing in January if you've been drinking. That is my number one tip. Use the time, use the energy, use the motivation, and bloody enjoy it.
Just, I need to come back to what you mentioned there about time. But when I first started doing this, it wasn't in January. It was in September, October, right? And those first few weekends, I'm not even joking, doubled in length.
Yeah.
Because when you shut the door on booze for a set amount of time, which brings me on to my tip in just a sec, when you shut the door on booze fully for whatever length of time you want to do this for, you are not thinking about drinking because it's not an option. It's not a choice for the time being. You're just saying no. You're not drinking. You're not debating what you're drinking where you're drinking and who you're doing it with. And then you're not panicking about drinking too much and then recovering from that drinking bad drink. Even just talking about it hurts my tiny brain. Weekends are just, oh my God, they're so long, so glorious. I remember talking to you about this, Ben, on an earlier podcast. And if this is the first time you've listened to us, by the way, go back and fill your boots. You know, what you can do through January is probably listen to 7 episodes of Us A Day, and you'll still have some spare as well. I remember talking to you, Ben, in the early days, and you were like, oh, crikey, Bank Holiday Mondays, they're my favourite day now. It's my favourite day. And you were just singing about Bank Holiday Mondays, about how beautiful they were and how peaceful and relaxing. Nothing like Bank Holiday Mondays in the past. And you referred again to the time aspect of it. So if you think an alcohol-free weekend is good, wait till you get a bank holiday. They last for weeks. It's so good.
Yeah. And you know what? If we convince you by the end of this episode, because we are going to try, I think, and convince you to go for a little bit longer than January. No pressure.
Maybe just
no pressure, but just because we know how fabulous alcohol-free life is. If you ever gone on an alcohol-free holiday in the summer, it fills people with dread when they think about going on holiday alcohol-free. And actually, a week feels like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It really does. It really does. Right.
We're digressing.
We need to get to David soon, Shaz. What's your tip? What's your number one tip then for dry January?
Okay. Excuse the language, but I've only got one thing to say, and it covers, I think, most bases. If you are doing this and you've said to yourself, right, okay, I am going to do dry January, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot do this half-arsed, okay? You have got to give it your full arse, all in. That is it. Just go in. And that's how I tackled this when I made the decision to take a break from alcohol. In the past, when I'd done dry January and failed, I knew. I'd already made the decision on New Year's Day, on the day after. I'll just do a couple of days. And you know why I wasn't drinking? Because I felt so shit from the previous month's drinking in December and November, because that's my birthday month. And I would get to January and think, yeah, I'm going to do dry January, I'm going to do... I'll sack it, and sacked it. There was already a voice in my head, you know, day 3, 4, maybe 5, I'd get to the first weekend. You've got to give it your all. Do not go in half-arsed. Don't think, I'll just have a glass of Prosecco as a treat for making the
week.
I'll
see how I get on.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go and see how I get on.
See what happens. You won't get any of the benefits, okay? And there are so many benefits. Ben's just talked about the time. You've got the deflating face. My face was the size of a bloody beach ball. 2 weeks later, it was only football-shaped and football-sized. It deflates. The skin, the sleep, the clarity, the energy. Oh, my God, the energy that Ben's already spoken about. But these benefits will come if you throw your heart and soul into this. And you know what? In the grand scheme of life itself, at this stage, listening to this, you're thinking, all right, 31 days. At the end of this episode, we might just talk a little bit more about maybe.
No pressure at all.
And it'll be great when we let him get a word in a sec, our guest, David.
Who's, Patient David.
Patient David. Yeah, that's what we're going to call him. Patient David. Like us, David was only doing dry January, and he's now sitting here on this podcast episode waiting to talk to you a year later. Because the craziness happened. It happened is another one that went, oh, God, it's working. It's working. But what he did, he put his full arse into it, as do so many of our community members. So for me, my top tip initially, I've got loads more, Ben. I've got more than 76.
We'll drip them in when we invite David on. And we'll see where we'll drop tips in as he leads us through his story.
Yeah. So to summarise that tip, because it did go on, don't do it half-arsed. Just shut the door on alcohol for the duration, okay? And get a plan in place, because we promise you it will pay dividends.
What you're saying is, by listening to this, you've already made the decision that you're doing dry January. So stop debating it in your own head now. You've made that decision. You're doing dry January. Stop going back. Oh, am I going to see? Am I going to break when I do this? Is this going to be difficult? Stop the noise.
Remove the noise.
Yeah, you've made that decision. Full arse it for January. And maybe a bit longer. We'll see how you feel at the end. Shaz, do you want to do the honours and bring on our incredibly special guest, Patient David?
First of all,
sorry,
Patient
Dave.
David.
That's the worst nickname I think
Patient
I've ever heard.
David is awful, isn't it?
It does make you sound like you're not very well. Maybe,
yeah. It's a little bit sickly.
Chaz, introduce our very special guest.
It would be my pleasure. We will drop the quite strange nickname of Patient David, although you have been very patient, David, waiting for it as well. Myself and Ben have been wanging on about alcohol-free life. David stumbled across this podcast this time last year. He's one of our amazing community members. He's a year alcohol-free, and it's absolutely our pleasure to invite you onto the pod today. David, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I guess my story is last year I decided to do Dry January. I tried to do it the year before and I got to day 28 and I thought, that's close enough, that'll do, that's fine, and started drinking again. But last year I was kind of, I noticed my drinking had ramped up, especially during COVID. I was like drinking more regularly, basically every day. Like it was a success if I only drank 6 days out of 7 in a week. That's the stage I kind of got to. So I knew I wanted to kind of cut back, and I thought, I will probably talk about it later on, but I thought my path to moderation was to do Dry January. So I obviously installed the Dry January app, kicked off the process and stuff, and I found that after maybe 4 or 5 days of just kind of white knuckling it, I was already like, oh, I could do with a drink right now. It sounds, you know, there's a bottle of wine downstairs, there's whiskey in the cabinet. Maybe I could try that stuff. And I was like, I need to find something to kind of keep me going. So I actually started, I originally looked on YouTube and I found a few people that were alcohol free and they were kind of talking about, oh, this is how you're supposed to feel after day 7. This is how you're supposed to feel after day 8. And it was quite scientific and stuff like that. And that kind of got me going. That kind of kept me going, sorry, for like another couple of weeks. But after that, it was around about the middle of January. I don't know exactly what the day was. I had to do some work in the garden, something really random. And
in January?
It was really warm January day.
He's Scottish, Ben.
It was above freezing.
He's a toughen.
Just in a t-shirt.
Just a t-shirt.
About to say. It's not that kind of podcast, David. Anyway, back to the story. It was the middle of January.
The middle of January. Yes, yeah. I was gardening with proper gardening clothes on, I guess.
Trousers. Sorry,
David. You could have went for the kilt. That would have been an easy one.
That'd have been stereotypical, though. No, we're not doing that.
Absolutely.
I was out doing garden work, and I was like, I was probably going to be outside for an hour, and I was like, oh, there's probably some Dry January podcast. This podcast is the biggest alcohol-free podcast in the world, but I honestly thought more mainstream podcasts were going to come up when I searched for it. But instead, OTI came up, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I listened to your Dry January episode last year, and I was like, this is really good. Everybody seems to be really nice and talking about, yeah, as you say, like the joys of sobriety. It wasn't like I was getting told off for my drinking past. It was kind of very relaxed and it was very encouraging. And I was like, oh, this is quite good. And I look back and I think you must have had, I don't know how many episodes, maybe 50 plus episodes at that point.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I went all the way back to the beginning and I was listening to maybe one podcast a day. It was everything to do with OTI. I think my number one tip would be, If this is the first podcast you listen to, go back to the beginning and listen to everything else, because you get to go through the full journey. And then from then on, like based on this podcast, I started reading a lot of Quit Lit. You talked about Alcohol Explained earlier on, and The Naked Mind by, I think it's Annie Grace.
I
read that as well. And then decided to go to 100 days, and then 100 days turned into 200 days, and 200 days turned into 300 days. And now I'm like, yeah, so it's been an amazing journey.
It's absolutely fabulous that you're celebrating a year alcohol-free. Huge congratulations.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I want to know why. Why did Dry January turn into 100 days, turn into 200, turn into a year, and now turn into, are you thinking this is longer term for you, David?
Definitely longer term. Like, I don't like to put time, I don't want to say forever. But I think the way I'm feeling right now, forever sounds great. Like, it sounds really, really appealing. I was actually speaking to a colleague of mine the other day who's also went alcohol free in the last year, and he turned around to me and said, "I think I'm going to give this a shot for another year because I feel so great." And you hear a lot about year two, so I'm really looking forward to year two. But yeah, why did I keep going? I guess the kind of simplest answer is you feel better. You feel better in yourself. Like I remember at the in the first week, I felt terrible. The 1st of January to like maybe the 10th, 11th of January last year. Like I must have had some level of withdrawal symptoms, and you kind of still craved a drink. It's like, oh, the easy option now was have a drink just now. But once you kind of power on through that, and once you get closer to like 100 days, you just kind of feel better. And you, like you were both talking about earlier on, you just have more time in the day, and you just generally have more energy. And my sleep was a lot better as well. And things like dealing with pressures at work and just everyday life, I felt my anxiety go down. I think anxiety was a big driver for me, like to keep going, because I was like, oh, maybe I'm just not naturally this anxious. It's actually the alcohol that's kind of causing my anxiety levels to increase. So I think the anxiety level is probably the main reason why I kept going. And then this community as well. I joined this community, the OTI community, around just over 100 days. I listened to all the podcasts, ran out of podcasts, and I was like, I need more content. So I joined the community, went to the beginning of the premium podcast, listened to all that as well. But having that connection and kind of making new friends like over the internet, turns out not everybody's dodgy that you meet on the internet. So that's a good thing.
Most of our members are all right.
Maybe apart from the ones that go to Barbados for months on end.
We've got one member who joins every Zoom call at the moment on the beach, and I'm absolutely delighted for him. He's having a lovely time, but he doesn't need to inflict that on the rest of us when it's -5.
I've messaged him, told him he's bloody blocked. What's he playing at?
He's blocked. Can't do that, Shaz.
Can, and they have.
David, it's really interesting what you say about anxiety. That's something that we hear all the time, that they are so surprised at just how much their anxiety goes down. And actually, we've had members who have been on medication and they've managed to, not straight away, and we'd always, you know, with everything, talk to your GP, please, talk to your doctor first. But a lot of people reduce their medications massively when they remove alcohol. Like, that is a thing that happens. People who've been taking the same things for years remove the alcohol and they remove the medication, which is unbelievable. We talked to, I think it was Rosie, the episode with Rosie, who came on to talk to us about alcohol and eating disorders last year, Shaz.
That's right.
And she was talking about how, because I always thought about, you know, yes, that kind of hangxiety you hear a lot about, that next day you've been out drinking, you wake up the next day, what did I do? What did I say? Oh my God, I feel terrible. Anxiety after drinking. She was talking to us about how she experienced anxiety in the run up to drinking. So if she knew she was going out on a Friday night, she'd start worrying about what she's going to do, what she's going to say on Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday. And it would just build through the week. So she'd have anxiety in the run up to drinking and then anxiety after drinking. So she was constantly in this cycle of anxiety purely because of alcohol. The other thing though, David, and this is something that we've definitely seen in you, and I don't know if it's because we've got to know you better, and maybe you can tell us, but anxiety goes down and confidence goes up, doesn't it, when you remove alcohol? This kind of inner confidence. And I have to say, if you're doing Dry January, like every day that your head hits the pillow and you haven't had a drink in January, you should feel really proud of yourself because you're doing something that isn't easy, especially those first few weeks. This is why we say 100 days, isn't it, Shaz?
Yeah.
Because if you give it up for a month, then you can get through a month, but actually the benefits really start coming when you start getting close to that 100 days. You want to jump in?
I really, really quickly want to jump in. Dry January, you can sort of think of it as giving something up. I'm giving up alcohol just for the month. I'm giving up alcohol just for 31 days. If you go that little bit longer, 60 days, 100 days, and that's what we swear by, triple figures, honestly, you'll realise actually it's not about giving anything up. It's about the gains. And you will start to gain positive things on a daily basis. Again, I'm gonna stop because I've wanged on so much. David, would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Like, just on the anxiety part, like, for me, it wasn't so much the next day or even the lead up to going out drinking. It was just in the general day-to-day things. So you would, like example I would give would maybe like I had to do a presentation at work, and the night before I would drink alcohol to try and numb out the thoughts. Like instead of maybe mentally preparing for this presentation, I'd just numb it out, and then the next day I'd wake up like panicking about this this presentation I need to do. And even it got that bad for me that even like just having a discussion over Zoom with somebody was becoming like, I was getting nervous about that as well. So I think the confidence thing is definitely something like I would describe it as like going through Jaijana, you're kind of building the blocks, you're building up your confidence to do even just day-to-day things. It's not even big things. It's not even like I'm going to do a talk in front of 200 people. It's just like just being able to function as an adult and talk to people, talk to people at work, go and like go up and like, I don't know, give people feedback on something, or go and, I don't know, make that doctor's appointment you've been wanting to make, things like that. That was that, for me, that's, it just made everything calmer, like a lot calmer. And so confidence is definitely part of it, but also just generally just making you feel much calmer in like day-to-day situations. So that's one thing I definitely benefited from.
I mean, as Ben said, not only are you one of our community members, you've become a friend, and we have seen massive changes. I say massive changes. How do you describe it? Like, they seem massive now, but it's like a slow and steady change, a slow and steady transformation. Ben talked about the confidence that you now have, and it's not like a confidence, hey, look at me, I'm alcohol free, I'm bloody fabulous. It's a quiet confidence. It's a calm confidence. You joined us up a mountain in Wales at 2 o'clock in the morning. Crazy. And I know before you book that, you're thinking, oh, should I do this? Should I do this? And there you were. You came on your own, travelled halfway across the UK to be there. And it was one of the best things we have done as part of Over the Influence. It was brilliant. And none of that would have happened, well, not with us anyway, had you not stumbled across this podcast, had you not thought, you know what, I'm just going to stick with this. I'm just going to use these tips I'm listening to now. I'm just going to give it my full arse. Here we are, 12 months later. It's isn't it brilliant, David? Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah, it's really good. And like the Snowdon trip, that wouldn't have happened if I was still drinking. Like that I wouldn't have done that. And I've signed up for Scarfell and Ben Nevis trips next year that OTI are doing. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, even this podcast, like if someone asked me a year ago to do a podcast that was going to be, anybody can get access to it around the world, right? Like I probably would have had a couple of drinks before I even got onto the podcast.
And that'd have been a rubbish guest.
Yes, it would have been really bad. It would have been really bad.
You know, you can access it everywhere, David, even though it's less mainstream than you were expecting.
Ouch.
That was the phrase, wasn't it? Less mainstream.
Yeah,
it's a very nice way of saying rougher around the edges than I was expecting for what is. I mean, this is a professional podcast setup,
yes,
David.
It is,
I don't
David.
Know what. You're referring to? Are you referring to the fact that I'm recording in a top office in a very cold Liverpool with no, because the radiator's broken and no heating, and Shaz is actually sitting in her boiler room recording this podcast? Is that the shonkiness that, sorry, the less mainstreamness that you're referring to there, David?
It kind of demonstrates like how we're kind of ahead of the curve, because if being alcohol free and if everybody knew all these benefits and it was in the mainstream, then the mainstream would be media and things would be reporting on it, right? So it's just, it kind of shows that we're the kind of first to the party for around alcohol-free. We're the first to the alcohol-free party.
I'm just going to say, I don't know where I'm going with this analogy. Party, yeah, with loads of zero alcohol options at our party.
Yeah. Very much.
I like that you can tell that David's in management, can't you? Because ahead of the curve. Yeah. So first of all, less mainstream equals shonky and rough around the edges.
Yep.
And ahead of the curve means a lack of professionalism, yeah. I think it's the nice management way of saying a lack of professionalism. But let's come back to the point. David, you were saying that you would have just said no to doing a podcast this time last year. But actually, you feel because of that kind of quiet confidence that's built. And it is, it's a calm, isn't it? And it's not just about kind of how you outwardly present yourself. You do get this kind of feeling of just being quite settled, don't you, when you remove alcohol for a good amount of time. everything's less spiky in terms of your emotions. I remember when I was a drinker, something would happen and I'd react, whether it was good or whether it was bad or whatever. But I would immediately react, and it would be a kind of instinctive reaction. And this is not when I was drinking. This is even, you know, just in the week when I've got alcohol in my system a little bit. You know, I'm in the haze of alcohol still. Whereas now I'm kind of more measured. Something will happen and I'll go, right, stop, think, how do I want to act about this? And again, that's alcohol-free life that's doing that, isn't it? I mean, look, David, you've given us loads of benefits already, and I think the fact that you can quite clearly say that your anxiety is reduced since removing alcohol from your life is a big enough reason for anyone to do it anyway. But can you give us any more benefits that you've experienced of removing alcohol?
Yeah, well, better sleep is kind of the main one, which kind of improves your mood quite a lot. So it kind of clears your head, and certain things like problem solving is a lot easier now. Like you can more easily step back from a situation, or even in the moment. Like, I work in technology, and sometimes you get things happen quite quickly and you have to fix things quite quickly. So you kind of have to react, and it just being able to do that is definitely helped as well. Relationship is better as well. My wife is now, I think she's 6 months alcohol free.
Isn't that brilliant?
So she did Dry January with me, and then she did a little bit longer than that. She went back to drinking, but that only lasted about a month, and she's been sober for 6 months. So I think our relationship's definitely benefited from it as well. I think also one of the other benefits is just being able to have more open, honest conversations, whether it's with your partner or friends, like more, I guess, conversations that mean more, like being able to talk about things that, and especially as a guy, like guys are generally terrible at talking about things. And in the past, you'd maybe go to the pub and you'd sit there and just talk absolute crap for like 3 or 4 hours. And now instead of going to the pub with my friends, I'd go for breakfast somewhere, and we'd have like more in-depth conversations about other stuff that kind of actually means something to us. So I think with that as well, it kind of makes you a better friend, like a better person in general, really.
I love that, David. I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? Like, especially within the community, I love it when you see a bloke come in and you see a bloke change. And it's that, I don't know, it's, you feel more comfortable being vulnerable, don't you? Like, we always talk about how vulnerability is a strength and not a weakness. And I don't know why it makes you feel braver to be able to talk about those kind of things. Maybe you're right, maybe it is the situation. Like, you know, you're not in the pub, you're on a walk instead, or, you know, you're doing a different activity that doesn't involve drinking. Maybe that's it. But I don't know, I think it does just make you, I think it comes back to that confidence thing. You kind of realise that you can choose how you want to live your life. You don't have to prescribe to the kind of societal norms, because it is normal to drink. It's accessible. It's accepted. It's everywhere.
So this leads me nicely onto a question we've had from a community member, but I don't want to answer it. Ben, I don't think I'm going to ask it you. I'd quite like to ask it, David.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I've actually got another one that we can all answer, which is quite interesting. Okay. So, David, message from Karen here, who is an OTR community member. My New Year question is how to deal with those that are less than positive about your decision to be alcohol free.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think the first thing I would say is, I think sometimes we put in our head that the conversations are going to be difficult, or we think people are going to be difficult about us deciding not to drink, basically going alcohol free. So sometimes it's not as bad as you think it is. And I think that's one thing I've learned this year. I'm like, oh, and I'm going to have to tell this person I'm not drinking. I don't know how they're going to react. And it turns out they don't react that badly. But some people do react badly. I think my advice would be, you just need to be honest with them. If you're open and honest with them, and don't give them a path in or gate in, basically. So don't say things like, well, I'm not drinking at the moment, but maybe in the future. I think that's the wrong way to go about it. Just be kind of firm in your convictions and be like, I'm going alcohol free. This is Dry January. I'm going to do Dry January. Any other reason, like, I don't feel like I want to drink right now. It doesn't make me feel good. Whatever the reason is, kind of stand by it. And if people ask questions, just try and be honest with them as much as you can be. Like, obviously people have got their own privacy and things like that, but if some people might just want to be interested in it, and they might be more accepting of it if you can explain to them why you're not doing it. That's the advice I would give people. And if the person doesn't want to accept it or keeps giving you a hard time about it, then I'd maybe question why you're still friends or still connected to them with them in some way.
Isn't it brilliant, Dry January, though? Isn't it brilliant that Dry January is a thing? Because why aren't you drinking? Because it's Dry January and I'm doing Dry January.
It's the best reason to use for now, isn't it?
People know what it is. It's accepted that people take a break from alcohol in January. Like, if you're thinking that actually you want to kind of remove alcohol for a bit longer, this is the best time. It's a great start that you're getting here because you can get all that. Because it isn't easy removing alcohol. There are things that crop up, and it is, especially in those first few weeks, you're doing something different and it's weird and it feels odd. But it's giving you a brilliant head start doing Dry January. Like, you can, while everyone else is doing it, you can just start to, you know, build that confidence that we've been talking about. Shaz, it looks like you want to jump in.
No, just talking about the name Dry January, we've had another question. All right. So this is from community member Davina. Hello, Davina. Thank you very, very much. If you could call Dry Jan something a little bit more exciting, what would it be?
Ooh.
See, mine would be dead obvious. It'd be like something quite juvenile, like Jolly January.
Jolly January.
Jolly January. Join us. Join OTI for Jolly January. Isn't it a tricky one, that?
I'd call it something like Kickstart.
Oh, of course you would. Of course.
But you know, because, right, so a year is 12 months and a lot happens in a year. Blimey, a lot happened last year. We had about 27,000 prime ministers last year. A lot happens in a year, right? If you do Dry January and you complete it, then you can be really proud of yourself. You couldn't have started your year off giving yourself a better chance of having the best year possible by removing alcohol for 31 days. Like, Shaz, when I gave up booze, if I'd achieved nothing else that day, but I'd not had a drink, because I said I was going to remove alcohol for 3 months at the beginning, then that means that I had a successful day.
It's a win.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a win. And every day that you don't have a drink, it's a win. Kickstart. Because it's the best way to kickstart your year.
For listeners of a certain age, there was a programme, I think it was on the BBC, hosted by Peter Purvis, ex-Blue Peter presenter, and it was called Kickstart, and I think it was on a Saturday morning, and it was a load of kids razzing around on motorbikes. It was brilliant. A health and safety nightmare. I digress. I do quite like your name, but it's a very Ben name.
Yeah, it's very Ben.
David, you've had about 7 hours to think now.
Oh, I'm still struggling. I was thinking Sober Sunrise, like the beginning, something like that. Yeah, because I think the first thing I thought of, I'm not going to say it. It's got a lot of swear words in it. Maybe not. I was going to say the fucking restart or something like that. I don't know. Like,
it's fine. You can swear on this podcast. I've got another one. You can Jan. Yep, you can Jan.
No.
Because people think they can't. Oh, I'm going to give Dry Jan you a try,
you can,
but you can Jan. No?
It's not for me, that.
Okay.
It's not working.
That's good.
I like Jolly January.
I love Jolly January.
I love a Jolly a January.
I'm so jolly in January because I give up booze. Isn't it great? Isn't it fantastic? Right, we've been wanging on for long
enough.
I feel like we should ask David, if you got anything, because I know that you thoroughly prepared for today's episode, David. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we haven't covered yet? You know, for that person, I'm thinking about that person who did exactly what you did this time last year and just typed in Dry January into their podcast app, and now they're here all the way through this episode. Yeah. Well done for sticking with us, by the way.
I've got two tips, actually. So the first one is to consume as much alcohol-free content as possible. So like I said, everyone, go back and listen to all the podcasts, but also just read as many books, YouTube videos, anything that's out there. There's loads of documentation and like videos, like media out there that you can look at. So I definitely, because for me, it was a good reminder every day of why I wasn't drinking. So even if it's more scientific about like the negative effects it can have on your body and things like that, or more for the social aspect and the anxiety that we talked about earlier on. So that's the first tip. But the second one is, it's about connection. Like, it's difficult to do this by yourself. It's difficult anyway, but it's really difficult to do this by yourself. So joining a community or just even having friends of, like, I was lucky I had a close friend and my wife both did Dry January, and that helped me quite a lot. I think if I was just doing it by myself, I think I would have really struggled. And even if you don't have anybody close to you that's doing Dry January, then try and join a community like OTI or even any other online communities. There's people out there that are kind of going through the same thing as yourself, and you should definitely try and get that connection, because that's the main thing. And it's the reason why I'm still sober after 1 year, is around the connection. If I didn't have this, then it would have been so easy to slip back into my old lifestyle, my old ways.
We were going to do a big plug at the end for if you want to get together with like-minded people who are also doing Dry January but want to go a little bit beyond, then go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. What's that website address, Sharon?
Thank you for asking, Ben. It's overtheinfluence.co.uk. As Ben said there, we were going to give it a bit of spiel. Not needed. Big up your best self, David. Thank you.
We've got to end this episode, Chaz. There's only one way we can end this episode. We are absolutely, unbelievably delighted, David, that you are a year alcohol-free. Incredible. A whole year without booze. Do you feel proud of yourself? Are you able to kind of give yourself that pat on the back? Because I know that you're a very modest man.
Yeah, I am. But I'm already looking towards year two. I hear a lot of good things about year two, so I'm really looking forward to seeing where that journey takes me. But I will take a moment to kind of celebrate. So it's a great feeling. Sometimes it's just weird. It's in some ways it's been a long year, but in other ways it's been a short year. So it's just an amazing feeling. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm so happy that I'm on this journey.
Oh, that's so good. You've hit the nail on the head. And I know myself and Ben, what you've just said there, it totally resonates with us. I think why it's weird in many ways is because you don't expect it, and it's all such a surprise, particularly when you set out just to take a break, when you set out to do Dry January, and then you think, I'll try Feb as well. Right, fine, I'll do 100 days. I'll listen to what these people have said and Over the Influence, and then before you know it, you've nailed a year alcohol-free. Disclaimer, it's not easy. We know that. It's absolutely not easy, but with the power of podcasts, with the power of connection, it can absolutely be done. David, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for being a wonderful community member. And thank you 12 months ago for deciding to listen to that. What did he call us, Ben? What was it?
It was a less mainstream podcast
he
discovered.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
That was ahead of the curve.
That's
what he said.
If you want any more info about what we do, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Big up yourself, David. And I don't think we've said it yet. Happy New Year. Happy New Year for 2023. May it be a good one, full of AF surprises.
So at the start of this episode, you heard from Claire. She's one of our fabulous Over the Influence community members. She gave you some brilliant Dry January tips. Well, to end this episode, we've got even more of our members giving their tips for a Dry January. We really hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Over the Influence, and we really hope you go back and listen to more. The podcasts are free. They will always be free. Right, let's start with Jenny.
Hi, everyone. It's Jenny here from Essex. I've just celebrated my fourth sober Christmas, and it was the best one ever. If you're looking to change your relationship with alcohol in 2023 and you're starting with Dry January, here are my top tips to get you through. Stay connected. Over the Influence is here to help you. We have all had our day ones, and we know how to support you through this month. Define your goals and tell everyone. Accountability is the key. You are much more likely to succeed if people know your goal is not to drink in January. You could even get some sponsorship for your favourite charity, or get your friends to join you in this challenge. Try to avoid putting yourself into situations where you may be tempted to drink, and recognise your triggers. Maybe you like a Friday night drink after work, or a beer watching football. Change your plans to do something else. Maybe the gym after work, and have an alcohol-free beer when you're watching the game. Don't forget, the urges only last a few minutes. If you distract yourself, you will stay on track. You'll have so much more time to spend doing the things that you love, or reconnect with something that you used to do. Read a book, go to the cinema, catch up with some forgotten friends, redecorate that room, make some bread, binge on a box set. The list is endless. Get used to saying no thanks. I'm doing Dry January and I'm not drinking. So what happens when Dry January ends? Well, hopefully you're feeling great and you can reflect on how your sober month has improved your health and well-being. Maybe you're sleeping better. Maybe you're more productive. You might have lost some weight and rekindled an exercise habit. The most important thing is that you have seen a sober life again. If you loved it, you could make the choice to stay sober for longer. That's how we all did it. Day one, day seven, a month, 90 days, 100 days. Mark your milestones, keep connecting, and get on with your beautiful life. Happy 2023.
Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Mark. When this airs, I will be 47 days alcohol-free at least. I'm already confident to call myself a non-drinker. In a lot of ways, that's down to the OTR community. It's been absolutely amazing. My main tips for a dry January: move more. Walking will make you feel better. It puts you in a really good place and gives you time to think things over and see the beauty around. A really great way to start the day. Find some alcohol-free options. Communicate what you're doing to your loved ones. This helps make you accountable and gives you the support that you need, and they'll really surprise you. I've had loads of support that I wasn't expecting. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. This is a superpower that I've found, and it will really help you hit your goals. There's so many benefits to being alcohol-free, but for me, it's really simple. I'm now the director of my movie, and I will make it magical for everyone I love. Have a great New Year, everyone.
Hi, I'm Helen. I live in the Middle East, and I've been alcohol-free for 8 years. But I still remember really clearly all the things that happened when I first stopped drinking, because I wrote them all down and I still look back at them. I think this is a really good idea. Write down a list of all the positive things that are happening when you stop drinking, and it really helps you stay motivated. So what I noticed at first was my resting heart rate decreased quite quickly within a few weeks. My skin became clearer and started glowing. I felt less anxious. My face actually changed shape quite quickly and became less bloated. And I really recommend that you take a photograph at the start of the month and after a few weeks and at the end of the month, then I promise you, you will see a difference in the shape of your face and the colour of it. I found that I had amazing sleep almost straight away when I stopped drinking alcohol. And I found that I had a lot more free time to do things instead of all the time that I'd wasted drinking. I also just found generally that things seemed brighter, more real and less fuzzy. I was more present. So I think it's really, really helpful and really motivating to write a list of all these things. You'll see loads of benefits straight away, and this will keep you going and hopefully throughout January and the whole rest of the year.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's Ian from Newcastle. I'm now over 2.5 years alcohol free. My advice for Dry January is, as Shaz would say, don't approach it half-assed. Put your full arse into it. Don't white-knuckle it. Take it seriously. Do some proper preparation. Join a good forum and community and read up on all the quitlet. Make some plans to do some things that are fun, that take you out of your normal routine. And finally, use the time of year to your advantage. What I mean by that is tell people that you're doing Dry January, but really, between us, you know that you're doing this for a lot longer. Certainly set yourself a longer target of, say, 100 days. That way, you know that it's worth more than what you're telling other people. Good luck and stay close to OTI.
Hi there, I'm Sarah and I'm from Wiltshire. I've been with OTI since it very first started and a member of the community since it launched in 2021. I'm also one of the Zoom hosts. I host a Zoom on a Sunday morning, and I'm also one of the OTI coaches. So my top tip for January, I've been alcohol free for 2.5 years now. So I've had, this will be my third or even my fourth January alcohol free. And my top tip would be take one day at a time. Don't think about the whole of the month. Don't think about the first week or even the second week. Just take one day at a time, put one foot in front of the other. And if you need some help, there is so much love and support in the community. Just reach out and there will be lots of people who are willing to help you. And if you're looking for more guided support, then by all means, contact one of us in the coaching section. We're on the website. Do reach out to us and we can help you. We can offer you a free 20-minute discovery call so that you can find out a bit more about coaching and whether that might help you negotiate the path that is sobriety. And I can honestly say it's the best thing that I've ever done for myself. So it is highly recommended. And good luck to everybody.
Hello, my name's Denise. I'm from Ireland and I've been alcohol-free now for 7 months. My top tips for dry January: remove alcohol from your house if you can. Put alcohol-free drinks in there instead. There are lots of good ones available. Another top tip is don't limit yourself. You can go out still. You can go out and have a good time. Go out to comedy, theatre, cinema, gigs, restaurants, clubbing if you like. Try and plan some nice events that you can go out and have a bit of fun. And the benefits? Well, no hangovers ever. More energy. Wake up early in the morning. Wake up and want to go out for a walk. The bags under the eyes tend to disappear. A little bit of weight loss. And feeling better overall, more on an even keel. You also know you're doing yourself a lot of good internally. And you might want to help that along with something like a holistic treatment. Perhaps Bowen technique or acupuncture or even just massage. That can help. Good luck.
Hello there, I'm Johnny. I live in Halifax in West Yorkshire. I'm 6 months alcohol-free and here I am giving you alcohol-free tips for a dry January. Seems a little bit disingenuous, but not really, because any month's the same really, isn't it? You're just using January as a break in the routine and an opportunity to explore that alcohol-free lifestyle that some of us, a lot of us, are starting to benefit from. So top tips, just keep it open-ended and say, I'm going to have a break for January, and come the end of January, I'll make a decision. You won't regret it. It'll make a huge difference to your life. For me personally, zero anxiety since I've stopped drinking. That's just a big win. And I can actually now go and truly enjoy the things that I used to do, but under the influence previously.
Hi there, Happy New Year. It's Yvonne from Glasgow. I've been alcohol-free for almost 5 months now. There's no doubt that that first month when you decide to embrace a sober lifestyle is the most challenging. But my advice would be just relax into it as much as you can. Immerse yourself in podcasts. There are loads of them. OTI is obviously the best. Embrace Quitlet. Again, a wealth of books out there on the topic of living alcohol-free. My personal favourites are The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober by Catherine Gray and The Sober Diaries by Claire Pooley, but there are lots and lots. Also, stock up on alcohol-free drinks. There are beers. There is Guinness nowadays, cider, wine, sparkling wine, spirits, and enjoy experimenting. Within weeks, you will soon notice that you've got clearer skin, better hair, and look in the mirror and you'll see that your eyes sparkle, a sure sign that you're really cleaning up from within.
Hello, my name's Mary. I originally came from Surrey in the UK, but just over a year ago, I moved to Spain and living here now permanently. I am 2 years and 2 months alcohol free, and they are probably the best 2 years and 2 months of my life. My top tips for you, if you're starting on dry January, stock up on lots of alcohol free alternative drinks. There's loads out there now, absolutely loads. Have a look, because they will really help you in the early days. They will just take the edge off a little bit when you have that craving. My next tip would be to listen to lots of podcasts, especially the OTI one. They are amazing, and you've got probably hundreds now to listen to. Also, read Quitlet. So many great books out there. My favourites, one of them is Girl Walks Out of a Bar by Lisa Smith and Glorious Rock Bottom by Bryony Gordon. Great books to read. And I just wish you really all the luck, because going alcohol-free in January, you will just see the difference. You will have better sleep, you will feel brighter, your skin will glow, you will have more clarity, you won't be as anxious. Think of it as not giving up alcohol, but think of it as what you have to gain, and you have so much to gain from giving up or taking a break from alcohol. So I wish you all the best. Just reach out.
to like-minded people who will offer you support. And that would be a real help to you in the early days and also throughout if you intend to go further with your break. Anyway, thank you for listening and, yeah, all the best.